Blog
Hello,
Talk
everyone.
Radio.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes,
sir. It is the sweetest name.
Sweetest name.
I know.
And lift your hands and say it with me.
It is
the sweetest name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like. Shut up in my bones.
Oh,
hey, the Holy Ghost is moving here.
Yes, it is.
And it's just for me alone. Oh, there's something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about the name.
Yes, it is.
Something about the name.
I love the name.
Oh, how I love the name.
Hello, everybody. Hi. My name is Twyla Ellis. I am using this platform today, and I want to first of all thank God first, and I want to thank God for this platform and allowing Angela Thomas Smith to put it on her heart to connect with me. I know it was all divine appointment. The director of African American Author Literacy Awareness Campaign, and responsible for this 2020 virtual tour book. Thank you, Angela, so much, and God bless you and all your endeavors and your family and everything that you touch. It is something about the name of Jesus. Yes, it is. It is. And I'm so glad that he's seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for me. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you so much. I can't even say thank you enough. The Word of God has been alive and a source for me for years now, I can say, giving me my true identity, helping me understand who I really am. I can understand that a lot of people, I hate to talk about it and put it out there, but it is something we can't ignore, stuff that's going on, and just say we're going to be all spiritual about it because we are spirits. We can't help but to be spiritual, but I just want to say I don't want to give any glory to this COVID-19 because there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know and don't really need to know if we trust the Lord and everything that he's doing and know that all things are working together for the good of those that love him and that are called according to his purpose. I'm on here to try to give some insight on my book and called Trophy of Grace. The Lord put it on my heart to write this book called Trophy of Grace. And it is an autobiography of my life and some of the trials and severe trauma, layers of trauma and abuse that I went through as a child, and how the redemptive power of God helped me and how he delivered me. I can say that because of him that I'm alive today and that I'm even here to speak. I want to thank my family, too. I want to thank my husband, Frederick Ellis, who God put it in his heart to just cover me with the word and pour into me, and my loving children and all the people, my friends and family that have just supported me no matter what, no matter the ups and downs and how things looked. They were always there for me, and you know who you are. I want to thank you. I'm going to read a little bit of my book. I believe some people told me they were going to come on and ask questions, but I just want you to know that if God can do what he did for me, he can do it for you, because he's no respecter of person. And he delivered me from a horrid situation, and I'll go into my book a little bit. Let me dive back into the story and keep in mind that this is not intended to be a story of sadness or pity party or to cause anyone to be angry or feel sorry for me. My story is meant to give hope and light to those that are stuck in shame, guilt, and despair, or even hopelessness and feeling all alone due to something that wasn't their fault. I want my story to give them hope where they thought there was none. I'm also hoping and praying that God sends someone else or something to help everyone that needs healing to escape everything negative and that darkness of despair. Let me say this right quick. I read a quote somewhere that said, when the worst thing happens to you is not the end. Allow me to fast forward a little bit as I give you a photo shot of my childhood, at least what I can remember with my father when he brought us, me and my little sister. I have six sisters, but one came with me to Texas from Oklahoma. I think, and a babysitter. I can't remember a lot about her because I was so young. I was like 7 or 8. But I know she was young, too. And I won't go into too much details because I like for people to tell their own story. I don't want to get it mixed up. But everybody knows when you're poor and when you get food stamps and noodles, but most people don't know about going to a laundromat and dragging clothes in a trash bag or boiling water on the stove and any pot you can find to take a bath, or lighting that those candles that had that picture of Jesus on the side in the house, because the power was off for weeks, even months. Most people don't know about shoes that you only wear for school and sleeping on the couch or floor because there are no beds in the house. But my little sister and I are very familiar with it. In addition, we had to get food at a food pantry, and we would sleep fully clothed in one room because the heat was off, to hand wash all our clothes in the sink or the bathtub. That's one reason I don't expect anyone to understand my zeal or my strong desire to demolish and destroy generational curses and perverted mindsets off my life and empower others to do the same and make a positive influence and difference in the life of a child that has lost or feel they have lost all hope. I literally came from nothing. The pain runs deep, but I helped motivate myself to be who I am. And by the grace of God, I'm not ashamed of anything that happened to me either, because God knows that as a child, you don't have anything to do with being a victim. And anybody that believes that or insinuates that doesn't understand, and they don't know, they make it worse. So, however, reading and understanding the Word of God and learning the true definition of grace and encountering the love of God, I'm at peace now with my identity. Fast forward, I don't know exactly what age I was when the sexual and physical abuse began. I believe I was around 11 or 12 years old. I have so many memories that are suppressed and blocked out. I believe that's a God-given coping mechanism or something. However, the sexual abuse didn't happen every night or every other night. The abuse would happen periodically about, I don't even know, but I could say it seemed like months apart. And as I reflect back on my past, I can see at times my father was even trying to resist that demon of incest and sexual abuse by attempting to give my sister and I away to neighbors and leaving us for weeks at a time with people. And even to the point where he took us to some lady's house, I can't even remember, he brought us from Oklahoma to Texas and Siegelville somewhere. I can't even remember everything that happened. But I remember when the sexual abuse started. After that, I can remember a pivotal time during the sexual abuse when I told my dad my stomach was hurting really bad. And he didn't say a word. He just took me in the car. I didn't know what he was doing or where he was taking me, but I soon found out that he was taking me to the doctor's office in South Dallas, the Mason on Martin Luther King, to be examined. The doctor asked me to lay on the examination table and open my legs, but I didn't want to open my legs. I was being resistant because I was afraid. But the doctor said, it's late to not want to open your legs now, because he didn't know I was being sexually violated. He assumed I was a wild or promiscuous young girl and just having consensual sex at a young age, but I wasn't. And I made myself relax so he could hurry up and finish the exam. After the exam, his tone changed and he said, no wonder your stomach was hurting. You're 6 months pregnant. I was 13 years old. I was shocked, confused, and very afraid. Because at that time, I didn't even know anything about really having sex or how I got pregnant or what my father was doing to me was the reason I was pregnant. However, after we left the doctor's office, my life seemed like a big blur. Those last 3 months flew by really fast. And the next thing I remember, I was delivering that baby at that same hospital. And the only clear memory I recall during that time of my pregnancy was when a stranger told me that I looked so cute pregnant. But I didn't say thank you or anything. I just put my head down and kept walking as if she said nothing. I felt so much shame, disgust, and I feared that someone would find out about how the child I was carrying was conceived by my biological father. Nevertheless, I can remember when going into labor, it seemed so painless and quick. I believe that was also evidence of God's hand on my protecting me on my life and protecting me in the midst of such a traumatic situation. And after I delivered the baby, I told the nurse that I didn't want the baby girl. And the nurse ignored what I said, as if, of course they did, because they didn't know what was going on. Came back with a head nurse, and she responded back by telling me to look at her. She said, look at her. She said, this baby is so beautiful, and she was. She looked like a little doll. But they didn't know that it wasn't the fact that I didn't want the baby. It was the fact that I didn't want to have a child by my father. The baby was beautiful and perfect. So she looked, and then she came back, like I said before, with a head nurse, and they both said, we don't do adoptions here, so the baby must go home with you. So I took her home and tried to act as if everything was okay for about, I don't know, months. And as I attempted to take care of the baby and go back to school, but it didn't work out according to plan. Everything fell through because my dad was always moving from pillar to post. Now that I look back on it, to not let people know or get evidence of what he was doing to us. And I didn't know either that he was on drugs heavily. I didn't know that as an adult. I guess most kids don't know that. They just know their parents leave. But anyway, although during that time, unaware that my dad was also pitting my sister and I against each other, and we have a great relationship now. And one of these days, she'll tell her story, and we'll be there to support each other. She's a part of my great support system now. He didn't want us to know he was using both of us, and I never had a clue that he was touching my sister either until a little later on. And all honesty, I thought that I was protecting her, because when I heard him coming home some nights and I could smell the liquor or sense him creeping around outside my bedroom door, I would intentionally make myself seem available and walk around so he would see me first and do whatever he wanted to do to me and leave my sister alone. I can't remember exactly when we told each other either in the truth, but it was very painful and emotionally draining to discuss with both of us. As I look back on things that transpired, I see that my mind was developing in how to block out severe pain and pretend like everything is okay when it wasn't. About my book and go more into it, I just want to ask that if anyone, and I want to say that whoever hears this message at the sound of my voice, if you are, or someone you know is going through this, please reach out for help. It does not have to be me. It does not have to be me. I'm not advocating for personal gain or financial gain. I'm advocating to leave a legacy of children and young adults or even older women or men that know that somebody out here has made it through, and you can too. If I'm here, if I'm available, I'll be more than happy to help in any way that I can. As you read my book, go on my website, because I'm not only an author, I'm a life coach as well. I've invested into the knowing knowledge, obtaining a lot of knowledge to accurately help people and allow the Holy Spirit to use my knowledge and filter through the things that I learn as a psychologist to benefit people spiritually and from a natural standpoint as well, because it all works together. Our brain, our mind, our soul, our spirit, it all works together. The Lord said, love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So it all works together. He wanted all. So I just thank God for the ability to obtain knowledge to empower myself first and then empower others to walk this thing out in practical ways, understanding how their brain works and then understanding how the Spirit of the Lord works and how they are made up and how you can walk it out and get through this. Because I was told that I should be on medicine. I was told that when I told my primary, because I was in the transportation department for over 20-something years, and I would go to the doctor periodically and I would tell them different things. And one day I just decided to tell them my background, because I hadn't in a while. And my doctor was so shocked that all the years, well, probably months or so, that I was going to him, that he never knew, because he said, you don't act like, he said, most people are on bipolar medicine or taking pills or schizophrenic. And he was like, do you need anything? And I told him no, just like I haven't had anything prior. I didn't need anything. And I give all glory to God for that. All glory to God. And I want to thank him. I want to thank him. And I just, like I said earlier, find help. Don't be afraid. And I know it's easier said than done. But my prayer is that everyone that's struggling secretly, everyone that's full of shame, everyone that's feeling ways that I can't even put into words, because a lot, I've been walking in this walk for over almost 20 years of just transforming my mind, and that's the first step with the Word of God, transforming the way you think. And I'm not trying to make everybody, I don't call myself, I don't want to say just Christian, because that term is used so loosely. And a lot of people call themselves Christians that are nowhere near Christ-like. True definition of Christian, Christ-like. I just want to say that find a support system and a Christ-like church family and seek God like never before. And you will see that the word is true, that it is sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the sunder, to the division of the soul and the marrow, separating spirit from the soul and giving you hope. I want to say this prayer as we get ready to close, and I just thank everyone for listening. And thank again, Angela, for this opportunity. And I want to pray out, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Be my rock of refuge, Father, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. Throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Help me to remember, God, that I can approach your throne with confidence. You love. And when I spend time with you, knowing this gives me strength to hold my head high and face each day without wavering. You are my confidence. You are my confidence. Father God, I ask that you help me to enjoy your work and have peace. Your word says in Ecclesiastes to enjoy your work and to accept your lot in life that is indeed a gift from God. The person who does that will not need to look back with sorrow on his past, for God gives them joy. Philippians 4:12-13, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. God of contentment, you bring me such peace. I forget this sometimes when my situation becomes difficult. I take my eyes off you, where perfect peace resides, and I focus all my attention on the problem. This brings the opposite of contentment. So I ask that you help me not to do that and allow me to rest in the knowledge that you are good and all will be well. All will be well. Again, I want to thank Angela for this opportunity. I want to thank this station. And my book is Trophy of Grace by Twyla Ellis. It is on Amazon and Kindle. My website is twylaellis.net. TwylaEllis.net. I'm a certified life coach. I'm still getting training, have had training, still getting training. I've done prison ministry in counseling, spiritual counseling, for almost 10 years. I am a facilitator at Dr. Tony Evans, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church. God has opened plenty of doors, and he has taken me down a lot of roads to allow him to pour into me and increase my knowledge to give him glory only. That's it. It's not for me. It's for his kingdom to be advanced. I want to thank all the people again for this opportunity and for being my support system. I want to thank this station again, like I said, and just thank God. I can't say thank God enough. Thank you all, and thank you for tuning in. God bless.